Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Hey, Tina, how are you going today?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
Yeah, great. Really, really wonderful to speak to you. Whereabouts are you in the world?
I'm in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada.
Are you? I thought you were, I thought you were in California. I don't know why I thought that. But you're
maybe you saw the C for Canada and mixed it up with
I did.
I'm just guessing, but we're all the way north.
Yeah.
And you're all the way south.
All the way in the great southern land. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's so nice to be chatting with you.
Yeah, likewise. It was very nice to be introduced to you, and I'd really like to dive into, I guess, first of all, for people listening who don't know who you are, who don't know, what you do, would you be so kind as to just give people like a bit of an overview about what you're doing currently and just a short sort of history of, I guess, how you came to be where you are at the moment?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So I'm Tina Kalogeropoulos. That's a long Greek last name. And what I'm doing now is I help corporate professionals find fulfillment in their careers and work-life balance, right? And so the reason I'm so passionate about that is because I grew up in the corporate world. I've been corporate marketer for over 23 years. And I have a passion for marketing. I always have, and recognize that the corporate world can be tough. And, as you're trying to climb the corporate ladder and get promoted and make money and be fulfilled and have a family, you need help along the way. You need some guidance along the way.
Sounds familiar.
So, yeah. So, I was fortunate enough to hire my own coach, and the clouds parted for me. I really saw the light, and I really saw the value in coaching. And I immediately knew that this is what I, needed to do for others, like the Tinas of 20 years ago. So I've been, heavily investing in educating myself and, learning the core competencies of a solid coach practitioner. And that's what I do now. I help corporate professionals achieve career fulfillment, right, in their careers and outside of work as well.
It's such a present topic, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if how many years that, generally reflecting back, coaching and career coaching, business coaching, life coaching as a thing has been like so popular and so widespread. But from the career coaching side of things, like how do you sort of say the difference between, or does the line for people that you work with cross at various points between career and business coaching? Do you have like people say who are either going from a career to a business as well, or in that sense, does that happen?
Yes, absolutely. Like that's a thing when we're learning the methodology, what is abundantly clear is if you're able to coach effectively, you're coaching the person, not the problem. Mm-hmm. Right. So you as a coach get to decide, what your skill set is and who you want to serve, right? So generally, people offer life coaching, right? And then they find that the people that they're drawn towards or the people that navigate towards them have a certain problem that they need help with. So that's when the coach would pivot, right? So right now with me, I'm drawn to, and I'm, the clients that come my way that are drawn to me are corporate professionals, right? And a lot of those corporate professionals are kind of tired of the corporate world and want to venture off and do their own thing, right? Mm-hmm. So they're in a period of transition, and thinking about launching their own business, right? Or a lot of corporate professionals are looking for work-life balance, and we coach on, like, we do life coaching, right? Some sessions are just solely focused on life circumstances.
Yeah, because so they're so integrated, though, really, aren't they? Like,
Coaching the person, not the problem, right? So, yeah. So you decide how you want to structure the sessions. But if your client comes to you and says, you know, I need help with X, that's what you're going to coach on, right? Like, if you have that skill set. But generally, people are focused with, I need a business coach, or I need a life coach, or I need a career coach, because that's generally the goal that they want to accomplish, or the problem that they want to solve at the time.
Mm. And it makes sense. I mean, there's nothing wrong in that too, because like us, or anyone who's running a business or is offering a service or whatever it is, like you're offering that and people coming to you for that specific thing. But it always seems so funny to me that, those things are separated because they're so integrated, like really, like in reality, your life and everything you do in your life and everything you do. I mean, I was reading on your website too, which I think expresses your story well. It shows, like, it's on, I guess, like a side note to talking about this, it shows the power of a good story and would certainly help those people that you say gravitate to you, to assist them. It probably expresses why they're then drawn to you on the website. Well, like, it's sort of, because when I was reading it, I was thinking, well, if I was that way inclined, like if I was in a position like some of those people are, that sounds like the sort of person who's maybe gone through similar things, which is kind of like a natural fit, really, because people want to, you know, it's understandable that people would be wanting to have someone who they can relate to, obviously. That's important, but depends on the person, doesn't it, I guess? Like, as to what they want from a coach. Mm-hmm. Have you found that?
It's interesting because you're right. You want to relate to your coach. However, sometimes when the coach doesn't know too much about that problem that's being solved, it gives them the power to ask these powerful questions without any assumptions, right? So versus someone that knows the intricacies of the problem that they're facing, it's kind of like, well, I kind of think I know the answer to that question, so I may not ask that question, which doesn't lead to a powerful coaching session. It's almost like the less the coach knows, the more deep the coach is going to get to understand the path that the client needs to take in order to get to that end result, because the lines get blurred at times with the differences between coaching, consulting, and mentorship, right?
Yeah.
So if you want, we can discuss that for a moment. Because, you know, if you hire a consultant, you're essentially paying them for their solution based on their expertise, and they're providing you with the solution to a business need or to a need that you've identified. Here you go. This is how you get to your end result, and they're done. Whereas a coach doesn't dictate what that end result is. The client does, right? And so it's just through powerful questioning that we're able to expose what limiting beliefs are in the way, where you've seen success in the past, and then the client kind of carves that path for themselves to get to that end result.
I think that's a really good, that's good you brought that up, because those definitions are both really relevant and really important distinctions too, aren't they? Because have you found you've had people who have thought that they've wanted a coach, but in reality they actually want a consultant?
Yes, like oftentimes
As the in the answer, client, they just want the answer and they don't.
They want to be told, what do you think? What should I? And I'm guilty of that too. When I was first working with my coach, and I would ask her, well, what do you think? and it kind of shocked me that she wasn't going to tell me what she thought, right? She circled it around so I can put on the table, like, what was really going on with my thoughts. And that's, you know, a powerful process that I take my clients through, and is identifying, like, what's the circumstance, you know, the fact, and what's the thought that's coming up based on that circumstance that's tied to the feeling, which leads to the action to get to your desired result.
It's the opening of the doors, I guess, isn't it? That you're not really there to, you as a coach, you're not there to actually to take them, to walk them through the door. You're just there to go, like, here's a door, here's another door, here's another door, in terms of, I'm like a metaphor for different, you know, opportunities, options, but they then still have to walk through the door.
Exactly.
As they have to, because ultimately that's the real power, because no one, I was having this conversation with someone the other day about, you know, mistakes that you make, you know, in life or whatever they are, whether it's in, you make a boo-boo when you're like playing a game, like in sport, and you learn from it, or you go down a certain path and the conversation was about that the only really powerful learning that comes from anything like that is from you having the realization yourself. It's never from, well, I shouldn't say never, because it's helpful. It's helpful when people tell you things, but it's not
And that's exactly it. The coach helps you see what can't be seen, right? So you're identifying that the circumstances, that the facts that have occurred, right, without getting tied into the feelings and the thoughts. It's just like, let's talk about the facts. And then we discuss the thought, right? Because our brains serve us, like, what's the stat? Over 80,000 thoughts a day. And 80% of them are negative thoughts. They're bad thoughts. They're served up to keep us safe, right? And to keep us,
wary and sort of like.
Yeah. So basically, and to keep you in your comfort zone, right? So through the powerful questioning, like, you can uncover, well, what's that thought that's holding you back? Okay. You point it out, but then we work together on, okay, well, what could be another thought that you choose? What could be a better thought that you choose to get to that result? Right? Because sometimes our thoughts are what are holding us back, and our thoughts aren't facts. Right? Our thoughts are limiting beliefs at times. When it's not tied to our goal, it's a limiting belief. Well, I can't do this because of this. Well, is that a fact or is that your thought? Right?
Yeah. So, it's often pretty random too, isn't it? Like, it's just all over the shop. It's all, you know, it's like, I had a coach for a while in our business, who's also, like, you know, a client and a friend. And I remember something that really stuck with me, in response, whatever it was that we were saying, and it didn't seem very like harmful or anything, like what it was saying, but it was saying, like, you do realize that, you know, sort of like, probably more than, you know, 90% plus of anything that you, you know, think may or may not happen is probably not going to happen. Like, it probably won't happen. So there's a very high probability that that's not going to happen. So you placing, like, a disproportionate amount of emphasis on it is kind of absurd, really. Like, it's just makes absolutely no sense. And when he said it to us like that, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, of course. That's ridiculous.
It's a thought, and that thought is leading you down to a path that, like you said, may never happen. I always like to think of it like the thought of the worry feeling that you get from a thought that you've created is like walking around with an umbrella.
Yeah. But it's right.
You don't need it unless you need it.
But what that highlights to me, I don't know about you, this is I guess a probably like an interesting subject just to talk about on its own, but what that highlights to me on the negative side of things but also the positive side of things is the power of thought, like of just a thought. Because I would like, you see, if you want to talk about, positive or negative thinking, or, you know, proper mindset or all of that, if we can assume that, and everyone has that realization, and whether it's talking up to someone like yourself and going, wow, that negative or just like thought that led down the wrong path was so powerful, and it was just a simple thought, therefore we can like probably like safely assume that exactly the same thing would happen with the opposite, with like the right sort of thinking, surely, you know. And
exactly,
and that is true. But I find that to be incredibly interesting, because it shows, like talking about the negative side of things, which like you said is probably more of our thoughts during the day. Even if you turn that around a little bit, just like, whoa, yes, that could have like a super, super big impact. And that seems like really a big lot of untapped potential.
I think we're not allowing ourselves to be open to that second thought, right? We're going to have that first thought. It's going to come to us, but we got to recognize that, wait a minute, that's giving me no value. Like I see that thought. Okay, I've acknowledged it, can't suppress it, because it's just going to keep coming up and coming up and coming up. Yeah, but what if I could replace it with another thought, right? And even just like a metaphor, I'm just thinking right now, like when you get that lottery ticket and you know that your numbers have all been called, and in that moment you recognize that you are now a millionaire, right? Nothing has changed within that second other than your thought that you are now a millionaire.
Yeah.
Right. You haven't moved. You're still stuck. You're still in the same position, but the power of the thought, right? And all of a sudden you start thinking of all the ways you're going to spend the money, how your life is going to change because you change your thinking. Same thing when you book a vacation. Why is it that as soon as it's booked, the vacation starts? Right. Starts in your head.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. I mean, it seems like such a, because it's not concrete, or it seems like it's not concrete, meaning that you can't like hold it. You can't go, yeah, I've got like here's $1 million like actually in my hand, you know, and go, oh, I can see it. Like it's just in your mind. There can be like a tendency, even though people kind of, I guess, intuitively know that it's really powerful, but because they're fleeting.
They don't have the tangible truth, the tangible proof.
And they come and go like fairly quickly. There's a thought that drops in your head, and like, I like that. I don't like that. You know.
Yeah. It's easy to get out of it. Just as easy as it to give yourself that positive thought that is will serve you. It's just as easy for that negative thought to bump into your head and to take over. Right. So it's a really strong like mindset, and that's what I think, like what as an individual, it's like mindset, your heart set, your health set, and your soul set, right? It's all those four things connected that all have to be talking to one another, and like you said before, you can't have a healthy body if your mind isn't right, right? Like it's going to be disjointed, and vice versa. You can have a healthy mind, but if you're not taking care of your body, then there's going to be a disconnect.
And that's the other thing too. That's like a similar metaphor to not being able to separate life coaching from other forms of coaching, like your health and your soul, spirit, thinking, mind. They're all super integrated too, because we all know you eat something bad, it'll like affect your mind, and therefore it'll affect like any number of other things. I mean, they're all like super integrated. But like in your what are you for people that you've been sort of assisting, what's some of the things that from say a personal point of view, from your point of view that you get out of it most, like what's the most satisfying thing that you've seen, or that when people have some realizations or sort of, I mean, you see that. What are some of those things?
It happens all the time, and it's like it even happened today. It just feels so fulfilling when you're able to help your client achieve their results, right? To get them one step closer to where they want to go, right? And like a lot of the coaching that I do for corporations and for businesses is geared around career coaching, because the individuals are newly onboarded to a position, or they've just gotten promoted to a new position, and you know, like winning the lottery, they're excited, they're ready to go, but they need coaching on, okay, how to adopt that accountable leader's mindset, how to manage time and priorities. So I have a whole methodology that I work through with my clients to ensure that they're set for success, but it's always driven by the individual, right? So when we work together, identify, look, these are the areas I have expertise in and I can help you with from a consulting perspective. And we can point the client towards one of those topics, but then it's driven by them. And when they follow that methodology, it's just magical, because they come out the other end feeling supported and feeling like they've been able to work through their thoughts. They're not just thrown into a new position or thrown into a new role, or, you know, they're supported. And even when they move past the program, they take learnings that I've taught them on. They take those learnings like throughout their own life, right? Whether it's in the corporate world, at work, or even at home. So just knowing that they're leaving, they're walking away with tools that they'll use forever. That's really satisfying for me.
Yeah. I can see that. And I've, from a personal point of view to be honest, when we had started, previously, working with, this coach and friend of ours, I was kind of skeptical, like a lot of people, and going, well, like how much, like honestly, like I had those, you know, those sort of thoughts, I'm sure heaps of people have, like, well, how much could, like, I'm good in this area and I know this, blah, 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 blah. And then thinking, how much help is it going to be? Well, obviously I didn't know the answer to that question that I was asking myself. But I was sort of skeptical. And then ultimately, like, the only way you ever find out is by doing it and actually just experiencing it yourself. And like, it was an interesting point for me, because the realization that those types of thoughts that I had, especially with somebody that I actually already knew and trusted, was kind of weird, because it was like, well, I should have anyway, because we already trusted them. But then to do it and then have such a powerful realization that it's so helpful, but the things that we were talking about didn't seem, didn't seem like a huge revelation or anything. Like, it wasn't like I'd never heard these things before. But because, and I guess like where I'm going is to this idea of the power of this third party and the incredible power of, you know, it's not any huge big revelation. It's not like you've never heard it spoken by another human in history. Like, other people have said, it's probably like a million times before you've heard other people talking about it. But the fact that it's a third party and they're sort of like a guide to you, it sort of seems so simple, but so powerful. And I mean, it's a overcoming of, I guess, you know, from our own point of view, like my wife and I, when we were doing it with this, with our coach, we were both surprised and we were like, wow, that was way more than I thought. And yet it seemed so much simpler than I thought. And so, I mean, I don't know if you've had like similar feedback from people on sort of similar sort of subject.
Yeah, I could say I have for myself as well, when I was, you know, first exposed to coaching, because it's that time where the coach holds the space for you and only you. And I think in today's climate and culture, we're challenged with that because you might be sharing with a friend or a colleague or family something that you're going through and not really asking for a way out, but just someone to talk to. Mm. And it's just in our nature to help and to be like, oh, really? Well, this is what I did. This is how I solved that problem.
Mm.
And then you get, you know, interrupted, and then the conversation kind of goes elsewhere, and you don't fully have space to explore your thoughts and to really explore what you ultimately want to achieve. Right. Mm. So I think for me and for my clients, just holding that space and not ever making it about anyone else but them, right? Like, what can you control in this situation? We'll talk about what's coming up and who's involved and you know, what the obstacles are. But then we always, you know, drill it down to, okay, knowing all that, what's the easiest first step for you to take? Because it comes back to you. And not what I would recommend, right? And not what's been happened in the past, but I, you know, likely ask you what's worked for you in the past.
Mm.
Like, when have you seen success?
Mm. Yeah, it's a very, I guess being a good listener too would be incredibly important, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's key. That's key. You have to listen intently, and have like clear thinking, right? Like anytime a thought enters that could sway you based on like your own experience, you have to identify it and put it to the side because it's not about you and you don't want to lead, you don't want to guide, you know, you want it to be guided by the individual. So, exactly, it's so simple, right? Like we have calls. I had a call today and, it was just so like at the end, she was so relieved that she was just able to talk through her thoughts. And she shared one of her thoughts and I said it back to her and I said, just heard this. What, like, how does that sound to you? And she said, it sounds so stupid. Right. And she like, you know, we didn't let it go. She came up with a new thought because the stupid thoughts aren't going to get you where you want to go.
It's so funny. Like, it's just like, I know this, I probably tell a lot of people, I mean, listening, like it's old hat and be like, yeah, well, of course, you know, of course that's the case, but it's still really powerful. Like you just said too, you can even be like saying something that's just come out of your mouth and the other person's heard it. And then you saying it back to them, you know, how could it possibly sound different when you just said it, but it does, like, because, you know, it's like looking into a mirror.
Yes.
And you've got an idea of yourself, you know, I mean, as a, I remember when actually a really powerful thing that just popped into my head, when I used to do, sort of training like martial arts and we used to go into a pumse, competition, you know, to do like forms for a competition to look and to get scored for it. And me, like, I'm sure like a whole heap of people would be going, yeah, pretty good. You know, that's like, it feels that kick or this punch feels like it's good and it's nice and clean and it's going to look great on the mat. And then our coach at the time, for Taekwondo, he was like, okay, we're going to video you guys doing it. And everyone straight away, even before, like, we saw the video, everyone was like horrified that was like, oh no, you know, there's, there's this potential for our like illusion to be cracked. And yes. of course it was like severely cracked. It was like, I remember seeing myself for the first time on video going, geez, it looks really sloppy. It looks really, like, it's just not what I had in my mind that how it was. But it was great because it was like, well, now I actually know like how other people are seeing that. And I can, and it was easy. Like, it was kind of much easier than to go oh, well, you know, I'm feeling this. If that's not true, then I just need to step this up and then I can look at it on the video again, as kind of confronting as that was at the time. Mm-hmm. It was like complete illusion, like, you know, blown away, like restart, you know, but super powerful tool, like in its own similar sort of way, like looking, having a reflection of something shown back to you and going, it's not quite what you thought it was. Here you go. Like, do with it what you will, you know, improve if you want.
Like, what do you see now? Yeah, exactly. Like, you're seeing it now. What do you see? What can be improved? Or are you satisfied?
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too, is it's not always negative. It's like, might be affirmation. It might be like, oh yeah, that's pretty much what I thought. Or like, it's near to, maybe a little bit more would be good. Or then in some instances, wow, that's way better than I thought I was. Like, so that makes me feel better. I mean, it can be any one of those things, but, you know, maybe more often than not, the negative, and like you said, like a lot of our thoughts every day are more often
negative
thoughts, which is that's an interesting statistic. And I'm sure that's probably true, even though how many thoughts did you say per day on
80,000? But I should fact check that. But I've heard it from a few sources that it's 80,000.
I wouldn't be surprised though, because this constant, it's a bit like a river, isn't it? It's like this like
pouring,
constant, just like constant thinking, but you're not focused on each individual one. Otherwise you'd probably get too tired. It'd be just like, oh, you know, too much.
Yeah.
But it's constant strain.
It's consuming. Yeah. And that's why being able to still your mind for a couple of minutes, like through meditation a day, is so powerful.
Mm.
You just need to quiet it down even for a couple of minutes.
It's energizing too. It's sort of strange.
Do you meditate?
Yeah, I do it when I'm doing some breathing exercises and stretching that, I've got a friend who I go and do a little bit of personal training with, who's been sort of giving me particular exercises and things to help with some goals that I have relating to squash, because I play squash. And he's been being, okay, do these sort of things, and then do this sort of breathing. So when I'm doing that, I it's not proper meditation, but, you know, in its own way, when I'm just, you know, thinking about just the breathing, you know, that's still, it's nice. It's like a nice quiet moment in like the flurry of everything else going on.
Yeah. It's nice to take that time for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think so. How did you actually see, I know, like, it's still sort of a topic, COVID and all that, even though it seems like a while ago now, but do you still see flow-on effects with people from that in how you're working with them and what they're deciding to do with their lives?
I think I'm seeing the positive results of it, that during the time of, you know, kind of looking at their lives and where they want to go and having a reset, like even myself, right? Like it was a time for a reset for everyone. And now that it's quieted down and I guess we're kind of back to some state of normalcy, the individuals that I'm working with have decided that, like, I'm going to go for it. It's now or never. Right. Mm. So we go, like, let's go. They've had the time to reflect. There's some of them are midway through their career, right? So there's enough time to flip it and to refocus, shift, reprioritize, and get going and not become complacent, right? We had this pause and now we're back into it. And how do you want to show up for the duration of your, you know, corporate career, executive career, or business life, or whatever career you're pursuing? So I think people are want to go, like they want to go. And I'm the same way. Like I always say I during COVID, I felt like I was a minivan, but I wanted to drive like a Porsche and I couldn't, and I was stuck and I felt stuck. And now, I want to go for it. And I think that's how I'm attracting my audience is people that are putting their hand up. They're saying, yeah, I want this goal. I'm not going to wait any longer. And yeah, I want to be vulnerable enough to see my faults and to admit I can't do it all on my own. I do need help, and I'm willing to be coached, and I'm willing to accept responsibility for that result that I want. We're not going to blame it on anybody else. I'm going to go for it now. So that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm living, and I'm loving it.
I think that point you just brought up then, that vulnerability is probably a much bigger point for a lot of people than we realize. Because I think like being vulnerable is obviously at different sorts of levels for different people. I mean, some people, you know, are just naturally, they, you know, they find it more easy to express themselves with different sorts of people and be vulnerable. But for a lot of people, like you would, is it true to say that to some extent you have to do that to be able to, you know, start to work with a coach? Is that something people have to do, or that it is?
Yes. And that's like the number one question I ask once I've determined that we're a good fit for one another. I'll ask, like, are you coachable? And if they're not clear on what that means, it means, are you willing to hear what you may not want to hear? Are you willing to, you know, make changes in your life so you can get to that goal? But you have to be open. You have to be willing to accept that what you've been doing so far have created the results you have to date. So you're good to go. You're good to proceed on that path. However, you're going to have new thoughts and take new actions in order to get new results. And in order to do that, you have to be able to identify things that have not been working, things that have been working great. Let's keep doing them. But you have to identify what's not been working or what hasn't been tried, and get out of your comfort zone and be willing to be vulnerable in order to get to that next level.
Isn't that interesting that it just sort of occurred to me too, that, you know, how certain, say, if we talk about coaching in terms of like how you're coaching, and then you go over to, say, sport coaching, like it's readily accepted by, you know, if you went to any person probably on the street who doesn't know anything about any sort of coaching, and they went to, and you said, hey, do you think it's like, you know, super acceptable and normal that a sport coach would be saying this to somebody for them to improve that? Well, yeah, of course, because like they're a sport coach. So it's like readily accepted in that sphere of coaching, because it's like it seems obvious to everyone, but it's kind of exactly the same thing, but then for the mind or for the spirit, you know, or for, you know, goals and like any number of things. But then there's a different, I mean, not for everyone, of course, but like for a lot of people, like I said, like I was skeptical, you know, because it's, I guess it's like linked to your ego too, isn't it? It's like it's like, I think I'm X, you know, but person Y, my coach, doesn't know me like I know me, like because they're not, you know, in my mind, and I've got my ego talking, and they come along and go, well, that doesn't look like that. That looks like here's what I see from like a third party, which is like the power of that third party, really, isn't it? Yeah. But then everyone, when they're thinking about sport coaching, was like, well, yeah, of course that would, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, and yet it can be quite a different attitude when it shouldn't be, because it obviously works.
Well, I think it's like, it's interesting because as a sport coach, you're both on the same page in terms of what the end result is. So that's been established, right?
Yep.
And you both are working towards that end goal. And the athlete is doing all the work, right? Mm. So even with coaching, the individual has to do all the work, right? Mm. There's like even some clients, when I ask, like, you know, how are you going to remain accountable to what we just discussed? And they'll say, well, you're going to hold me accountable. And I'll say, yeah, maybe on this call I can hold you accountable, but we're not going to talk again for 7 days. So you need to have some accountabilities in place on your own, or you got to think about what needs to happen in your life in order to remain accountable. Right. Mm. So the same thing, I think, with athletes, like they need to do the work. They need to remain accountable because it's not going to be done for them.
Mm. It's easier. It seems to be so, I guess, because there's a different sort of tangibility to it then too, because you're doing something physical. Once again, like maybe it gets like, even though it's like super about mindset in all sport, but because you're doing something physical, maybe there's something there, like we were saying before, when you can't, like it's harder when people have to imagine. I mean, it's easier for certain sort of people to creatively imagine things and see it in their mind. But even then, those ideas can be very easily sort of transformed into other things, good or bad, you know, because it's all very, you know, sort of, liquid, you know, it sort of transforms easily. Like an idea can be over here and then be over here. You know, you can change it, or it seems to change itself. I mean, like we were saying before, like that person said something, you say it back to them, and magically it's like the same, it's like what happens with, like people emailing something, you know, the tragedy of like sending an email and somebody else on the other end going, what did you mean by that? Mm. You go, I didn't mean anything by that. I just
the interpretation.
It's like the receiving end seems harmless. On the other end, the person's mindset is here and they're receiving it going, hang on a second, you know, or like, how come you put that in caps, you know, or whatever.
That's what I find is so powerful with coaching, is you're always using back the same exact language and vernacular that the client is using. So it's familiar to them, and the coach is never making assumptions, right?
Mm.
It's always in their language, in their words. And, again, they can see if that's really what they meant. Or the coach can challenge with permission to go deeper on what it is they meant when they made that statement.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus just like, you know, a lot of times when you're speaking to people outside of a coaching relationship, you just say what you're going to say, and then it just remains. And it's not challenged or questioned or explored. Right? It's like the same way when you meet someone. Hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Okay, good. Or I'm busy. Well, what does busy mean? Mm. You know, you just leave it without saying, what does busy mean? Then you'd understand what busy means to that person. But we just leave it.
It's interesting. It's really sort of interesting speaking to you about it, because I don't think I've had many chats then with coaches talking about their coaching and like from your perspective, because the emphasis is often on, you know, the person who's going to be using a coach and what they want to get out of it and all that. But hearing it from your point of view about that, the psychology of it, and is very interesting. And I guess as we're sort of nearing the end of the podcast, like, how do you, I'll just like ask, say from like a personal like point of view, like from your journey that you've gone through to get where you are now, how do you now, like, have you found that the process you've gone through in helping people has actually helped you too in some way, like with your own work, you know, if you want to say work-life balance or just thinking about things, has that actually helped, you, Tina, like in a personal sense?
In so many ways. I can't tell you enough. I believe coaching is a gift. And when you're paired up with a coach that helps you see what can't be seen and helps guide you, I mean, not necessarily guiding you, but just coaches you so efficiently and effectively to get to your end result. It is life changing, because as soon as I put my hand up and I said, I'm ready to get to where I need to go, but I need help. And I thought my problem was X, but through coaching, I realized my problem was Y. And that required so much deeper work than I would have ever imagined. But as soon as I recognized that that is what's holding me back, and as soon as I saw that that's something that big is holding me back, how am I going to get through it? Mm. And the coaching methodology, which I shared earlier, is, you know, you base it on facts. Like, what is the obstacle? And it has to be a circumstance that is factual, like that can be proven in a court of law. Otherwise, it's just a thought. It's just a limiting belief that's getting in the way. And you have the power to push that aside.
Mm.
Right? So had I known this gift, you know, growing up in the corporate world, all the things that were holding me back, they weren't facts. They were just thoughts, limiting beliefs. And then I attached feelings to it. And then I ended up behaving a certain way because I just thought that was law, like that was it.
Mm.
But now that I know that I can move forward and my clients can get those goals because they've identified it, it's there for them. It's there for the taking, right? I can never, who knows your life better than you?
Mm.
You do. So you'll identify what goal you want. You know what you want. You know what's achievable.
Mm.
Right? And then just like seeing that power of being open to challenging those thoughts and removing them and replacing them with thoughts that help get you closer to your goal is so powerful. I mean, my husband sometimes is like, are you coaching me right now? Or my kids, Mom, are you coaching me right now? And, you know, it's obviously difficult. You can't do it with your own family because you have a vested interest and you want to guide them, right?
Yeah. And then your answer is like, what do you think?
Exactly. But I just like having learned this, model is changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see that. I think it's like, as much as nobody wants to have to go through hardships or things, I think certainly when you do and then you come to some realization like that, it makes the realization so much more powerful, you know, as opposed to just like, you know, I often reflect on, you know, things that have sort of happened in our lives and going, geez, I really wish that hadn't happened or this or that, and that would have been great and it would have been more sensible to go down this different path at point X. But then I do often go, but I wouldn't be me now, really. I mean, probably similar, but I would be different if I hadn't, like the lessons that we've learned are so much more powerful now. And you don't want to like, I don't really buy like the whole philosophy that people espouse about that you need to kind of give, you know, people or children or other people like more hardship because it makes them stronger, because they're going to get it anyway at some point. I mean, I just don't buy that. I find that incredibly annoying. You know, it's just like they're going to get it at some point. Everyone does. People will learn their own lessons, but you know, you shouldn't engineer it for them. you know, why would you do that? Yeah. No, but because it doesn't work like that. Like you gotta go through it yourself, like, you know, and then having someone at whatever point is probably appropriate, which is probably more appropriate, like in your journey after you've gone through all this stuff. Like you wouldn't probably, I mean, I would almost argue you probably almost wouldn't have the proper learning or the understanding at the later date if you hadn't gone through the other stuff. I would almost argue that I mean, it doesn't mean you have to go through more extreme things to have good learning, but it's going to be more powerful or it's going to be different, and you can't predict what that's going to be either. It just like has to happen. And but yeah, I think it's like it's wonderful chatting to you about all this, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there having really nice conversations with you about their future too, which is, you know, as a whole is great. You know, it's very important, I think, to help each other and to have conversations. That's then, you know, share stories too. You know, stories are a very powerful sort of thing to express a lot of things.
And it's also I'm hearing all that, and it's also been inspiring. Like I've been inspired by other people, and to hear back that I'm inspiring other people is such a joy, because I'm doing the thing, right? I'm, you know, challenging, like the reason I didn't do the thing is because of a thought, really a thought error, right? And when, now that I know that that is generally what's holding me back, like when I'm stuck or when I can't move forward or when I'm questioning something, it's because of a thought. It's not because anything physically, like no fact is in the way. And, so I'm going for it, and people are seeing that and they're admiring it and they're applauding it and they're supporting me. And it's been such a great journey. Because I think it's pulling back the veil on what's possible for them too. I've inspired them to start thinking about, well, that's all I want. I just want to help, inspire, motivate, and let's everyone like achieve what we're destined to achieve, whatever that may be, right? Everyone's measure of success is different.
It's so easy. I guess to sort of say, or for people to say, you know, these sorts of conversations, we're talking about positive thinking and all that, that it's all sort of fluff and airy fairy. But I think the reality is that because it's so simple, and the things we've been talking about already with the power of the right way of thinking is such a underexplored sort of idea. And it's so powerful. Like, you know, I think the reality is that when people say, oh, you could change the world if everyone, does this, I think that's actually true. Like, I think that's the reality, is that that is true. And that anyone that says otherwise is just simply wrong, because you see it. It's not just through chit chat about it on an intellectual level. Like you see the actual physical results of when that happens, of people feeling better and doing better things. And like, but also, like, I think even probably more so is that there is like a natural flow on effect that you just see everywhere of the more people help other people, they're more likely to help others too. And you've got this really big flow on effect. I mean, that's just a fact. Like, you see that all the time. And, you know, but on a closing note, Tina, I'll just ask you at this point, if you can, would you be so kind as to, if you've got like a quote or something from yourself or something that you really like that you'd like to share with everyone?
I have a lot of I guess, affirmations that I practice and that I, you know, post up in my space. So I'm constantly reminded of why I'm doing what I'm doing. But the one that resonates with me the most is, she believed she could. And so she did. And if you read my story on my website and it talks about my, starting a family journey, it has a lot to do with that. I found a poster in a shop and I bought it for myself and I put it in my powder room and I looked at it every morning and I was so determined to get the result that I knew was meant for me. And I read that she believed she could. So she did. And so I never gave up. I never gave up. I never quit. I knew that if I really wanted it, I would have to keep going for it, keep going for it. And luckily I was blessed with my daughter and now, you know, fast forward 7 years, I still believe that so much that if you believe in that thing and you're speaking it, then it'll materialize. It'll happen.
I think that's really true. I'm 100%, 150% feel the same way. I think that's super important. The power of thinking. And I think like a word for me that I always really love is perseverance. Like I think above almost other similar words, I think like it's not just, you know, things we've been talking about, but like it's almost, for me anyway, it's almost most important to persevere like that, especially in the face of, it can be anything. I mean, what you were talking about. And it does, it might not happen now, might not happen in a year, might not happen in 3 years, but eventually, like, if you keep at it, it'll, like, it will actually happen. I think that's a really, it's a lovely sort of way to end the podcast too. So thanks, Tina. And have you, can you tell everyone also best way to get, for people to get in touch with you as well? Like, where do they find you online and how they get in touch?
Sure. I have a social media account on Instagram. You can find me there. It's at tina.kalos. So tina.kalos. Or you can find me online. My website is also my name. So tinakalos.ca. Those would be the best ways you can reach me. And yeah, I look forward to keeping in touch with you. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah,
and you know, any listeners out there that sparked some interest or curiosity, please don't hesitate to reach out. I'd love to continue the conversation.
Yeah, no, thanks. Any last words? Any last words before we go?
I thank you for giving me this time to share my love for coaching and why it's so meaningful and why it's so special, and that it's, I'm so blessed that it's entered my life and that I'm able to help others. And by being on your podcast, it's just an extension of sharing that knowledge and, you know, the service that I can provide. So I thank you so much for providing me this opportunity. It really means the world. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, you expressed it in a really, you know, lovely way and very, like, you know, clear way too for people. So thanks. And thank you everyone for listening as well. If you've got any feedback or any suggestions for any topics or anything else you would like us to discuss in future episodes, just leave it in the comments. And thanks again for listening to the Grow Your Business Podcast. And we'll see you again soon. Bye guys. And bye Tina.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.